Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
Dave Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave, you're so sway. Oh, Dave, I like your shave.
And we're the Daves. I'm David Badanek.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
We're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM 101.9.
CITR Radio.
And these are the Daves of our lives.
It is Friday, the 14th of October, 2016, and this is Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We're broadcasting live on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming on the World Wide Web at CITR.ca from our studios underlooking the agora of the palatial Student Nest on the Musqueam territory of Olkston, better known to you as the Point Grey campus of the University of British Columbia. On the program today, we meet the writers of Comfort Cottages, a brand new play on now at the Powell Studio Theater in Cole Harbour that I am in. And we'll talk about a play that I'm not in, Standing Room Only Theater's production of 12 Angry Jurors that opens soon at the CBC Studio 700 on Hamilton Street. Plus our call board and lots of great local music. It's Vancouver's go-to hour for local independent theater, film, and music, and it starts right now. Don't touch that dial. And we're going to kick things off with another track off of Vancouver's own Alison MacDonald's latest album that I can't remember the title of right now, but it's a collection of her favorite show tunes and songs from the 50s and 60s, and this is her version of Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow.
Tonight you're mine completely. You give your love so sweetly. Tonight the light of love is in your eyes. But just a moment's pleasure, can I believe the magic of your sighs? Will you still love me tomorrow? Tonight with words unspoken, you say but we night meets the morning sun. I'd like to know if your love is love I can.
So that's Alison McDonald, and the name of the album is I'm Moving Along, but that's a song called Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? And sitting in the studio right now, we have a couple of playwrights, and please introduce yourselves to us.
I'm Judy Ginn Walchuk.
Yeah. And I'm Jane Clayton.
And Judy and Jane are the authors of Comfort Cottages, which I've been plugging the heck out of for the last couple of months because
you,
I'm performing in it at the PAL Studio Theater in Cole Harbor. And first of all, welcome to Dave Radio.
Well,
it's great,
you.
Great to have you in here. Thanks for letting me be a part of this production, because it's really been a great experience for me. But first of all, tell us a little bit about what, just the sort of the summation of what Comfort Cottages is, like what's the story and that kind of thing.
Oh, Jane, you're always good at this. I'm always afraid of giving the plot away.
Yeah.
And you know why, Dave. You just
well, yeah, I don't give you any of the secrets, but
I guess it's about
It's about four friends, really, isn't it?
It's about four friends who are straddling retirement age, and things tend to slow down a bit. You know,
yeah.
Lives get smaller, things fall away. And the play is about what would happen. It's a bit of a fairy tale.
Yeah.
What would happen if you made your life bigger, if you took some risks, if you got out of your comfort zone and went on a ride that challenged you?
Mm-hmm.
So it's about these four women, each of them facing a different issue about aging, and they end up living, I don't think it's giving it away to say, one of them inherits a motel.
Well, that's how the play starts.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
She has her friends. It was inspired by that motel on Kingsway, that one with all the little houses, and that's someplace I thought would be wonderful to win a lottery, buy that motel, and install my friends in.
Yeah, this was inspired by an actual motel in Vancouver called the 2400.
That's right.
Yeah.
And
which many of us have seen on X-Files and Supernatural and many other shows.
Yeah. I got mine picked out, my little house. I know which one I want. So her friends move into the little cottages, and people keep coming by because it was a motel.
Yeah.
So it presents them with a lot of different situations, most of them pretty funny because they're operating from two different sides of things. And it's about the women's relationship with each other, and it's about their relationships with the people that come to the motel.
Yeah.
That's perfect, Jane. That's perfect.
Thank you. Have a lovely day.
And what's charming, I think, about the people that come to the motel, I'm playing one of them, is that, without giving too much away, they have a familial relationship with the motel and with the woman that ran it, and
that's
it
right.
was more like a second home to them, and they kept coming back. And so mm-hmm. when these women take over, they just want to keep coming.
They inherit everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you give me two of my biggest laughs in the play every night.
Oh.
Honestly, two of my biggest laughs come from you.
All right.
Yeah.
You're not going to tell them what it is?
Well, yes. I okay. like when you're approaching the motel
yeah.
just outside the door
yeah.
and your walk. Your walk. I have to sit in the same place every night just to see it. It kills me.
Right.
Absolutely kills me.
It is a funny play.
It is.
It's meant
yeah.
to be heartwarmingly funny. It's we didn't dumb it down. There
no.
was some concern that maybe some of our references were a bit esoteric, a bit of a stretch. We didn't think so. We threw them in there. So you can take it however you want. But every night, there is a lot of laughter
yeah.
going on. People
yeah.
are a bit surprised.
You mentioned something when you were summing up the play, too, that struck me, because it's something that I discovered while I was working on the character. And that is that idea of taking a risk. Of making a choice that no matter at what point in your life you're on, mm-hmm. sometimes you're faced with these decisions, and there's a line in the play where one character tells the other one, "Jump,
mm-hmm.
jump, Catherine, jump,"
okay.
and it's in reference to a thing that happened when they were in childhood, and now it's a decision that has to be made now, and making the analysis for my own particular character, but in seeing what other characters, everybody has that moment,
mm-hmm.
Everybody in the play. Not just the four women, but the men as well. Everybody has that moment where they've got to make a choice.
And her line is, jumping isn't the same as falling.
Yeah.
Like, there's a certain enthusiasm and a certain trust
mm-hmm.
and a certain intentionality when you jump.
Yeah.
You make that
yeah.
decision.
Yeah.
Falling is too arbitrary. You're a victim of fate, whatever.
Yeah.
But these characters are not victims.
No.
They make a conscious decision
yeah.
to take that leap. And, of course, with the leap, the life expands. There's
mm-hmm.
so much more opportunity. There's so much more.
Yeah.
One of the lines is opening your eyes to the possibilities of
mm-hmm.
life.
Mm-hmm.
Things dim down. They dull down when you get older. They can.
Yeah.
We
get into comfortable routines.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it becomes scarier and scarier to move out
mm-hmm.
of them.
So, and this is with the support of friends, building a network, having your friends.
Mm-hmm.
There is that element of support. I mean, one of the toasts is to Aunt Kitty, who opened doors for me, and to Belle, who pushed you through them.
Yeah.
You do need your network of people.
Yeah.
Friends that help with all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, as an actor, this is a unique opportunity for me. I don't often get a chance to actually talk to the people that created the character that I'm playing.
And well, so, let's start that off by saying thank you.
Yes,
you're
thank
awesome
you.
Awesome in the role. You bring so much to it. It's totally believable to me, and yet wonderfully fun the whole time as well. So thank
well,
you.
Thanks. Worth the price of admission, you'd
Absolutely.
Say?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, especially on
you
Tuesdays.
You can get tickets at Brown Paper Tickets. The show is... anyway, the reason I brought this up was because I want to get an idea of... My character's name is Roger. He's a traveling salesman and a bit of a ladies' man.
And a great yes. dancer.
And a great dancer. And I always want to know is where does this character come from? Like, yeah, as a writer, how did you come up with him? Why did you choose him? Who is he based on anyone
well,
you know?
Well, he's kind of everyman. He's yeah. the everyman.
Yeah, everybody
who's
is composites of people we know,
mm-hmm.
really.
Oh, of course, yeah.
But he's the consummate.
I didn't want you to name
salesman.
Names or anything.
No, no, no. Wouldn't be doing that,
no,
okay?
No.
Yeah.
And he is, you take your idea of what a traveling salesman is.
Yeah.
He doesn't have roots. He travels a lot, but he doesn't really get anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
He has no concept of rooting down with family or taking his life in that other direction of serious commitment. So I think we just thought of him when we saw the motel.
Yeah.
I saw cars outside that I know belong to traveling salesmen,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they just are like Rolling Stones. They don't stay anywhere for long.
Yeah.
But this motel hooks him. So interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's your next venture? Have you got your next play all lined up?
No, it's a miracle we wrote this.
It is. I think Judy's working on musical projects.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, let's talk a little bit about that. Both of you, you have pasts in the arts. Judy, you're a singer.
Yeah, and singer
actually,
and writer.
Jane, I don't know much about
that's
about
just
where you
the way I
from.
Like it. That's perfect. Thank you very much.
So what inspired you to become playwrights?
Well, Judy came to me one day and she just said, let's write a play. And it seemed like a really good discipline. Like, I write all the time, but I write without focus sometimes.
Yeah.
So we would get together once a week and we would write. And mm-hmm. it was a non-threatening, supportive environment. And we'd had this idea about the motel for decades. We'd talked about where we would. And the funny thing is, we'd love to move into a motel like that, small little personal spaces, bigger communal spaces. And we both ended up at PAL, which gives you a tiny little apartment and a lot of communal spaces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very
so
similar.
It's our motel on Kingsway, the PAL.
And PAL
building.
Has a garden.
Yeah. And PAL, for those who don't know, is the Performing Arts Lodge, which is a co-op housing for performing artists. And it's down in Cole Harbor by the Bay Shore. It's been around for 10 years now, celebrating 10th anniversary.
For senior artists.
Yes.
It's definitely not for your up-and-coming, but you've been there, done that artists, right?
Yeah. So. And it's a beautiful building.
Beautiful.
There's a rooftop garden on the 8th floor right outside. So if you come to see the show that's on at 7:30, you can come a little bit early and hang out in the lounge.
Have a glass of wine in the garden.
Yeah.
Pick some herbs.
Yeah,
it's a really
gorgeous.
Lovely
we
space.
We have volunteers that look after the garden in the building.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we started the play because we lived in Pell.
Yeah.
And we'd seen so many theater companies coming and going, and we're always volunteering, and we get to see the plays. So one day we just thought, maybe we could do that.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And, you know, without PAL, I don't think we could have. I mean,
no,
PAL gave
no
us access to people like Anna Hagen, our director,
mm-hmm.
Who took us seriously from the get-go. That's an awesome door opening. We got to know the different actors, and we had readings, and people got on board early. Marilyn Gann, she was one of the first people at a reading, mm-hmm. and was so encouraging. I found that people in the industry very positive and very supportive, and that push the play along. You know, anytime you'd stall out, that would get you going to the next space.
Yeah, it's a nice fit for PAL, Western Gold Theater, which is Anna Hagen and Terrence Kelly producing it.
Yeah.
And you two as writers. Mm-hmm. It just, you know, it all fits in together. It's like, you know, they sort of, you know, a match made in heaven.
It's absolutely true, and especially for me because my sister Marley is in the production.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's, that really adds another dimension for me.
The one who pushed her through the door.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, we have a target base. You know, there's, you look around at the audience, and it's an older audience.
Yeah.
But they're hungry for something that makes them feel good when they leave.
Mm-hmm.
It's a scary world out there right now. There's enough stuff to bring you down. When they come to the play, there's chatter, there's laughing. People feel uplifted.
Mm-hmm. That's our goal.
So that's
when
we
were writing it. It's like, will people feel better when they leave than when they came?
Yeah, and that crosses all demographics. It's you know it's a play that anybody of any age can enjoy and get something out of.
We hope so.
Yeah hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you both for coming in.
Thank you.
This
Thanks
has been
for
tremendous.
Having us, Dave.
Yeah, we've got two more weekends left. We've got a show tonight and tomorrow night, and matinees on Saturday and Sunday, and then Tuesday to Sunday next week. We close on the 23rd. Pay what you can on Tuesday night, which
That's
was
right.
a great success. We had a full house on Tuesday night.
We did. Yeah.
Well, do you know some of the matinees are sellouts now too?
Yeah.
So it's going well. And what that means is it's word of mouth. People come and see it. They tell their friends because every day I see a bump up in the numbers. So we don't have a huge advertising budget. Yeah. It is word of mouth. And that is very satisfying.
Mm-hmm. All right. So it's Comfort Cottages. Check it out. You can go to Western Gold Theater. There's a Comfort Cottage webpage as well. Comfort Cottages, the play. Or you can just go to Brown Paper Tickets to get your tickets. So thank you both for coming in. Now, Judy, you have dropped off one of your CDs here.
I did.
And I think we should play it.
You going to play the first track?
All right. We'll play the first track. So I just have to wait for the drawer to open. So tell me a little bit about this.
It's kind of a dreamy CD.
Yeah.
It's a piano voice duo I did with Miles Black. It was out last August or this August that just passed. And it was done live in PAL.
Oh, yeah.
We no rehearsal. No charts, We just picked out the tunes, got the keys. We showed up in the studio, and we went 3 hours top to bottom.
Oh, my goodness. Just hit record and go.
Yeah, and we just watched each other. Basically, that was it.
And I see your brother's name on there, too.
Yeah, he did all the engineering.
Your brother, Jim.
Yeah, and all the mixing.
Good for him. All right. So tell me a little bit about the song. This is a Johnny Mandel song. Is that the one you want? I'll Only Miss Him?
Yeah, I'll Only Miss. It's one of my favorite songs.
Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot for coming in.
It's about time. The UBC hockey season opener. Tune in this week as your defending Canada West women's hockey champions take on the Saskatchewan Huskies. Listen live on CITR 101.9 FM this Friday at 7 p.m. or online at CITR.ca.
Sexual Assault Support Centre, the SASC, is a free and confidential service which provides support to those who have experienced sexual assault, intimate partner violence and harassment. We provide services to folks of all genders, including students, staff, faculty and those who have a connection to the UBC Vancouver campus. We provide crisis and short-term emotional support, legal, medical and campus-related advocacy and outreach and educational programs. We are located in the Student Nest, room 3127. For more information on our hours of operation and other resources and services, please go to our website, amssask.ca, or visit our Facebook page, AMS Sexual Assault Support Centre.
Having trouble finding affordable, fresh baked goods and coffee? Come down to Agora Cafe, located in the McMillan Building at UBC. There's also space available to study.
Mics are on. Here we go. Let's see. What are we talking about? It's 1228 CITR 101.9 FM, Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. And sitting across from me now is Sean Anthony, who is director of 12 Angry Jurors.
Hello.
And Sean has brought one of the Angry Jurors with you. And tell us who you are.
I am Chris Walters, and I'll be playing juror number 3 mm-hmm. in the show.
Now, this is actually a play that we talked about 6 months ago when Theater in the Raw was doing it. So mm-hmm. we know a little bit about the structure of the play. It takes place in a jury room. The jury has seen the trial. It's a murder trial about a young man who's accused of killing his father, and the play starts with the jury being brought into the jury room to start the deliberation,
yeah.
and then what happens over the next 2 hours and why they're angry. And
why they're angry, yeah. Hopefully it's clear why they're angry.
Now, you might be more familiar with it as 12 Angry Men, because that's how it was originally written back in the days when women really didn't serve in juries in the yeah. 50s. And but now, of course, it's been updated, and there's no... it's not that difficult to adapt to a mixed gender, mixed race kind of cast, is it?
Really? No, the rights company actually has two different versions.
Oh, really?
They have a men's version and a women's version.
Oh.
And if you do cross casting, then you just kind of mix and match from both of those scripts.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, some of the women's script is... Even that is a little dated,
yeah.
In terms of the references, you know, someone brings in crocheting and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So we've kind of eliminated those. We've also modernized some of the cultural references that are taking place in the show, and yeah. the dollar amounts when they're talking about how
yeah.
much things cost, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. But it is a play that is. I mean, it's. I think it's as relevant, even more relevant now than you know when it was written. A lot of the issues that it covers are still. I mean, they're being talked about in the U.S. election and
tolerance seems to be a big topic these yeah. days for a lot of shows. I mean, with our show Angels in America going on at Studio 58 right mm-hmm. now as well, which was a really heavy show in the 80s.
Yeah,
I would say it's not even just the topics that they're covering; it's the way they go about to come to their final decision. The fact that it's logic versus pure raw emotion,
yeah,
which is what the two camps.
That's really the struggle of the play, isn't it?
Yeah. And slowly they fall to logic, mm-hmm. as I think you all must in the end. But then there's the one at the end who holds out all the way just because he feels so strongly.
Yeah,
And it's that logic versus emotion.
Mm-hmm. So, Chris, let's talk a little bit about juror number three. Who is he? Where's he from? And what's sort of his? What does he bring to the jury?
He brings a lot of anger. Yeah. He's very frustrated with life. He's used to getting his own way and forcing his opinions onto other people.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't accept that at face fact, then he's not below intimidating, threatening, standing up to people. He's obviously someone who's had fights all the way through his life, and he's absolutely at home in a barroom brawl.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the one who I mentioned earlier that
he's the last standing.
He's the last standing, yeah. With the just pure emotion, pure rage bubbling through him.
Yeah,
that is just blind to the facts until the very end.
How is that as an actor to let pull out all the stops and let it all go?
Extremely enjoyable. Yeah, it's unfortunately it comes a little bit easy as well.
Yeah.
Well, those sort of more visceral emotions, anger and passion and love, those are the ones that I think are easier to access.
Yeah.
Because we all have those things just in us on a day-to-day basis. When we're getting into the shades of, you know, a nuanced emotion with a partner or something like that, that's when the finding the emotional range is the hardest.
Yeah. I mean, the base emotions are the
explosions. Those
are the ones that as actors we spend our time controlling and finding ways around and through and preventing them from coming out. That's what makes it interesting. That's what makes the strong.
Yeah, and Chris has a great arc through the show. The ways and the times that he puts a damper on it, or it peaks through a little bit, and the conflicts that arise with the other
jurors.
You
can't be shouting for an hour and...
No.
An hour and 20 minutes straight. It wouldn't be very enjoyable for the audience.
Now, your main adversary, the juror of logic, that's number eight?
Juror number eight,
Who's playing juror number eight?
Brett Willis is playing eight, mm-hmm. and he has a very understated approach to it. It's great to see the two of them face off throughout the show. He's the whole cast. We've been so lucky with the cast members that we had come to audition. All of them were so strong. It was very easy to cast, actually.
Well, tell us a little bit about who some of the actors are and what they bring to their characters.
Well, we have Christine Reinfort, mm-hmm. Who is juror number four,
right.
And she is stretching herself to... she has a very powerful nature just in herself.
Yeah.
And so she's actually been cast in a very soft and light character who still has power.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's working towards that kind of airiness with strength behind it.
Yeah. Another actor that I'm familiar with is Mandana Namazi.
Yes,
who had taken a break from the stage for a while to have a family, and now she's coming back.
You know, I just realized the other day that she's a fully trained
and she's
a lawyer.
Yeah,
you know, which is wild.
Yeah, she was. She was. I don't know if she still is, but she was a Crown Counsel for a long time.
Right.
And
yeah, a very talented actress as well. Mm-hmm. She's really pulling it in for the team as well.
Yeah.
Who else? We've got Megan Hemingway, who is from Salmon Arm originally and then moved out to New York. She was out there for quite a number of years. She trained at Circle in the Square, which is a big deal.
Yeah.
So she's back home now. And she's here in the city, and we feel very lucky to have her involved.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of standing room only veterans. We have Lloyd Darling and John McDonald and John McIntyre.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge cast. Do you know Leah Ringwald?
No, I'm not familiar with the name.
Okay,
but
she did Welcome to Thebes with me.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Company. She was in Company with...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
With Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's a huge cast.
Yeah, well, yeah. In the title.
Yeah. A lot of people have asked me why I would take my debut as such a huge cast, like why not do a two-hander or a four-hander or something like that? And it's just been a dream of mine since theater school.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, you know, it's already been done once this year. I think there's a company in Tawasin that wants to do it next year. In fact, I've got them on my auditions call board. They have specifically chosen to use the male-only script.
Oh, yeah.
So they're just going to be casting men for that one. So that brings its own dynamic to it as well. It's interesting to sort of look at how it was originally played.
As a period piece almost. I mean, Chris has some conflicts with women in the show, which adds an interesting frisson.
Yeah, you have a room full of men is going to be different than a room full of just women or a room of mix of men and women. You know, each of those situations is going to have its own challenges to it. Yeah. So you're playing at the CBC studio, which Studio 700. Which is a nice little room.
Yeah, you know, it's a nice space.
Are you doing anything interesting with the staging of it there? Because it's a very flexible kind of space.
Yeah, the vision for the show is a little bit outside the standard. We're not doing it in the round, for example.
Right.
We're going to do it proscenium with all of the audience straight on. And we are actually opening up the table. So that instead of seeing the back of people's heads, we've opened up the table so everybody can choose their close-up of whatever actor they want to see while they're at the table, while they're having their deliberations.
Well, it looks like Da Vinci's Last Supper.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah.
Not that that was intentional.
And then they move away from the table and move into a 3D space where they're interacting with each other.
So it looks cool, and it sounds simple the way Sean's just explained it. But what we're to add another layer on it, the actors are remembering how they were when they were facing each other. So for the first few weeks of rehearsal, we were in a round table.
Right.
Then we've opened it up, and now we're remembering who we were looking at and the directions, and we're keeping that, but facing the audience.
Wow. Yeah.
So I'm looking at two to my right, easy.
Yeah.
Looking three to my left, easy. 11 is straight on.
Yeah.
8 and 9 are to my 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And so on. And that's for every single one, which based on the position they were originally in the round table.
Yeah. So, yeah, you got to do a lot of recall on that.
Yeah. So when you have those moments,
it's...
So you've got, someone at the other end of the room looking to their right, and I'm looking to my left.
Yeah.
We're having those two moments, but we're not in the same space.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. It's new. It's a challenge.
Yeah.
And hopefully it should look really cool if we can all...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's this little dance
across
the table of where people are looking and shared moments close and far and... It's really coming together. I'm really enjoying the rehearsals.
Great. And you open in 2 weeks, the 26th?
October 26th.
October 26th.
Yeah, to 29, and then November 1st to 4th.
So get it now before
start buying
before
your tickets on brown paper tickets.
Yeah.
And you can find that through the Standing Room Only Theatre website and Facebook page.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we also have a Facebook event page. As well.
Okay, we'll link that to the Dave Radio Facebook page so make it a little easier.
Fantastic.
For folks too.
Okay.
All right, guys, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. Cheers.
Hope you have a great run. Now we're going to play some more music. This is a group that I think they're coming to town again soon. Anyway, they just released a new album. They're called the Sumner Brothers. They're on tour through the prairie right now, but they should be back in town soon. This is the Ant Song.
talking to your shadows. You've been pulling at your skin. In a voice much laden with regret, he said, it's time to take you off.
Are you interested in Indigenous issues? Do you get ticked off with ongoing colonization? Do you have something to say? Or do you want to learn more? We have just the thing. Join UBC's first ever Indigenous Radio Collective at CITR Radio, Unceded Musqueam Territories. Our show, Unceded Airwaves, airs every Monday from 11 to 12, and we meet from 12 to 1 to plan our upcoming shows. We're interested in content covering various things from film to literature, current day politics, history, whatever you want to talk about, we're into it. Everyone welcome, Indigenous and non-Indigenous.
My name's Chris Horrific.
You always wanted his character to be bigger than life.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is, without question, the greatest sports and entertainment event of all time. Be a part of it, Monday.
From 1 to 3 p.m.
The Parts Unknown Show on 101.9 CITR. Sometimes cosmoses collide.
Break your fingers!
Rocket from Russia, weekly punk rock radio show on CITR, presented to you by Stomp Records from Montreal. Every Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. on 101.9 FM.
Time now for the Dave Radio Call Board, featuring auditions and calls for crews, musicians, and other contributors for productions around Metro Vancouver. It's our belief that auditions announced here should be open to all genders, ethnicities, ages, and backgrounds. In fact, we encourage everyone to read for everything. Little Mountain Lion Productions doing The Mystery Plays by Roberto Aguirre Sacasa, directed by Madeline Osborne. The show's going on in December, and the audition is today. Looking for two women and two men, and one role open to gender. One role, open gender, open age. I never get this right. Open gender, open age, one role. The others are for two men and two women. You got that. All right. Now, that's happening tonight. I don't have an address for you, but you can contact littlemountainlionproductions.com and find out where to go. Sticks and Stones Theater Company doing This Is Our Youth by Kenneth Lonergan, and that's happening in January at the Havana on Commercial. Auditions are today and Sunday. They are looking for someone to play Jessica Goldman, a woman in her 20s, an anxiously ambitious fashion student with an inability to commit to decisions. That's, as I said, that's happening today and on Sunday. Tomosuru Players doing Spring Awakening by Duncan Sheik, and that's happening in February. The auditions are today and Sunday. The production's happening at the PAL Studio Theater, and the auditions are at the Mount Pleasant Community Center at Number 1 Kingsway. That's right there at 7th and Kingsway in Maine, where they all meet. Tomosuru@gmail.com is the address. United Players, Sunday in the Park with George by Stephen Sondheim, directed by Ryan Mooney, musical direction by Claire Wyatt. Production's happening in January, and the audition is tomorrow, October 15th. We're needing 8 women, 7 men, all strong singers and actors, and your email contact is sundayauditions@gmail.com. Capricorn Theater Company doing Confessions of a Grocery Clerk, a new musical. And that is happening in December. The auditions are Wednesday the 19th at the D.W. Poppy Secondary School in Langley. The Fire Hall Arts Company has a production of a brand new piece of theater called Circle Game. It's a Joni Mitchell reimagining, conceived and directed by Andrew Cohen and Anna Kuman. And they are going to be putting it on in the spring. First performance is April 29th. And it closes on May 21st. The auditions are next week, October 20th and 21st, at the Fire Hall in China. In, is it Chinatown, Gastown, band, Downtown East Side, 280 East Cordova Street is the address anyway. Looking for three men and three women, any ethnicity, song, strong contemporary singing voice of any range, ability to play a musical instrument, and classical dance technique would be helpful. You can submit your headshots to firehallartcenter.ca. In North Vancouver, North Van Community Players doing Charlie's Aunt by Brandon Thomas, and that's happening in February. The auditions are on the 23rd and 25th at the theater at Hendry Hall in North Vancouver, and this is a kind of stylized Victorian-era farce. Very funny, very silly play, lots of fun. Speaking of fun and silly, it's Glorious, a comedy by Peter Quilter. This is the play that inspired the movie about Florence Foster Jenkins that's coming out soon with Meryl Streep. This is the original play. It's happening in White Rock in April, and the auditions are the 23rd and 24th of October. Vagabond Players doing a Agatha Christie, Towards Zero. The play's up in February. The auditions are in November. The Graduate by adapted by Terry Johnson, based on the novel, movie, blah, you know, the Dustin Hoffman thing. Anyway, it's a stage version of that famous movie, and it's happening in White Rock in February. The auditions are in November. Vital Spark Theater doing the story of Mary Queen of Scots and how she got her head chopped off. And this is the North American premiere of a new play by Liz Lockhead. And Joan Bryans is directing that one. It's happening in February at the Jericho Art Center. And the auditions are Saturday, November 12th at the Jericho Hill Center. And the final one, as we mentioned before, 12 Angry Men, the all-male version of the play we talked about this afternoon. And that's happening in March. And the auditions are in January at the Tawasin Art Center. But in the meantime, watch the 12 Angry Jurors that's happening starting in 2 weeks at CBC Studio 700. And, of course, Comfort Cottages still running at the Powell Studio Theater in Cole Harbor. All right, got time for one more song. Our pal Reed Jameson has got his new CD, Dear Leonard, a tribute to Leonard Cohen. This is the one and only original song on that CD. This is Reed's tribute to Leonard Cohen. It's called Dear Leonard.
Dear Leonard, I write you today my proposal in song. My struggle lies where you are strong. I've wrestled with words for so very long. Line after line, as each conversation was wrung, pinned to the ground, silence won, started and ended before I'd begun. I'll lend you the blue of my eye and a body still young, voice of an angel, sweet sound from my guitar and tongue. If you lend me the lines of your years and the ease of your song, inside this bargain we'll both belong. Dear Leonard, please understand this is only a loan. While I'll be the skin to your bone, I long for sacred hymns of my own. Yes, I'd call to sing you the phone book, that old tired tone, yet onto the fire it's thrown. Were you the author, we'd still take her home. I'll lend you the blue of my eye and a body still young, voice of an angel, sweet sound from my guitar and tongue. If you lend me the lines of your years and the ease of your song, inside this bargain we'll both belong. Should I kneel and praise the sun,
C Sorry, Reed, but that's it. That's our show. Thanks for spending a lunch hour with us. This week, let's see. No shout out this week. But remember, if you have a song that needs airplay, a show that needs audience, an audition that needs actors, a class that needs students, or a film shoot that needs background, we are here for you. Send your details to DaveRadioPodcast@hotmail.com. And remember to like us on Facebook. If you missed any or all of today's show or want to relive glorious moments from the past, check out our podcast archives at CITR.ca. And stick around because Fresh Slice is up next, followed by Radio Zero at 2. And then at 3:30, it's Napkin Boy with Nardwar, the Human Serviette Presents. Dave Radio returns next week at this same time. Bye-bye.